What happens when a popular rock radio DJ retires, sells everything, and with his wife, takes off in an RV to see America? Ho, ho, ho! It's the Rockin' the RV Life podcast with Jeff and Patty. Join them each week as they share their experiences while giving you advice and tips along the way.
Hi, and welcome to our show. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Patty, and we live and travel in our RV. Thanks for coming along on the ride with us.
Yeah, hopefully the information we give you will help make your travels a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm. You can follow us at rockingthervlife.com, and we really like hearing from you.
Mm-hmm. We recently met Jennifer and Matt Papish. They travel a lot, and they can work while being on the road. They have that ability. And they have such an interesting story that we invited them to our RV to be right here on our podcast.
Yes, you're going to learn a lot from them. Matt and Jennifer, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks
it's
for having us.
It's a pleasure to have you guys reach out and, you know, kind of tell us about your adventure. And how many RVs do you have?
Currently, I have two of them, a travel trailer and a fifth wheel.
Okay.
Okay, what size is, what are the...
Travel trailer is like 20 feet, and that's good for short trips like weekends and short trips. And the fifth wheel is 33 feet. Mm-hmm. That's also good for short trips, but... If I'm just going to a state park, some state parks have maximum RV sizes, and that's where the travel trailer comes in. It's you could fit it really anywhere you go.
Right.
And but if you want to stay a long-term camping, the fifth wheel is much nicer because it's got lots of space, and there's a separate room for the bedroom, and that's a big plus. So
right.
Very comfortable for me, too, since I have to work remotely while we're traveling. So I have a lot of storage space.
Oh, that's
nice.
Yeah,
that's really important. That's great that you can do that. Because they're calling a lot of people back to work nowadays.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Now, what do you pull those trailers with?
Well, I use a couple different kind of trucks. For the small travel trailer, I just got a hybrid truck. And I did that for the reason that I actually thought I was going to save gas. But when you really look at it, I don't know how much I really save. Because when you tow with a hybrid, it's totally different than when you don't tow with it. And I think that's the same with an electric truck. And the hybrid's good because you get the distance, whereas an electric one, you won't. But the reason I got it was because my idea was to go boondock camping, and when you have a hybrid, the way that the truck I have has a 7.2 gigawatt receptacle in the back that runs off the hybrid engine, so when you boondock, you can plug right into that, and you won't need a generator, and you can run your air conditioner and all your appliances with no worries. So.
And that's incredible, because a generator usually is pretty loud.
Right.
And your engine is...
Quiet. Well, yeah, the nice thing about the hybrid, the engine's off, and it'll start up once in a while and shut off automatically. So you leave it on while you have it plugged in. And so the engine will start up when you need it and shut off. It doesn't stay on all the time, which is the main reason why it's...
It's super quiet.
Yeah, it's
you
quiet.
Can't even notice that it's on.
When you're driving it, you don't even hear it a lot of times.
Oh, wow.
So.
Nice.
Well, I'll tell you, I like your style. I like the idea. Maybe we should get another one.
And have two.
We'd have two of them.
Yeah. Something a little different.
A little variety.
Yeah, really. That's amazing. Now, do you use any solar?
The small one, the Winnebago, the Micro Mini, has a solar panel on top. And it does charge your battery enough to run the refrigerator and some small appliances, so your battery stays charged. But you can't run the air conditioner or the microwave. That won't work with.
But if you need to open
solar.
The slide or do something,
it charges it. It trickle charges it all the time. So that's what a lot of new RVs have are the solar panels, and that's nice. And some of them have two and three, and they have another inverter, so that you get a lot of power now from solar.
Right.
So boondocking is a big popular camping experience because of the reason you don't have to spend any money and you can run out. It's totally self-sufficient.
Yeah, so. The idea, get off the grid or get further off the road and away from everyone so you can find that private place next to a lake or next to the mountains. And you have a very unique way of buying RVs, don't you?
Yes, I go to auctions and buy them. And there's an auction in Florida that runs once a month, and it's strictly RVs. So it's really nice because I've researched all the auctions, and that's the one that has the most late model quality RVs. I'm in the car business, so I got to know auctions from buying cars for over 30 years, buying and selling them. So there's auctions that sell RVs and boats, and that's what this one is. and that's what their specialty is. So that's how I got into it, just from going to the auction and noticing that they once a month they sell RVs, and I went and I looked around and I said, this is pretty cool. And there's some really late model ones with almost no use and very low miles.
No kidding.
So yeah, they drop in value probably 30% right after you buy them. So yeah, you can get a nice deal on a used one. And a lot of people like buying used because you save the big money off the versus a new.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We bought a couple that you couldn't even tell anyone ever used it. It looked brand new.
Wow.
Yeah. What a price deal. It really is.
Yeah, you get a real break on the price. And then a lot of it is market driven because right now everything is, the prices of the market are higher than they usually are. So in the past, you were able to buy the same thing for like $10,000 less than it is today, but then the new prices of new vehicles are high, so right. It kind of offsets.
But that's a good opportunity for you to earn some money too.
Yeah, you can buy and flip them. I've done that a little bit, and my coworker does that with boats, so it's a little different. You know, being in the same business for 30 years, it was nice to try something new, something new to sell. The way they auction them is similar to cars. So.
Well, so when you do the auction with the RVs, mm-hmm. are you bidding for it with other people?
Yeah. There's people online, simulcast they call it, that click on bids.
Oh, and, so you do it online, so you don't have to go to Florida.
No, I do. I'll tell you why. For RVs, it's...
Oh, you'd want to see it.
Yeah, you got to see it. Because the way they're set up, you can't arbitrate an RV. They're as is, no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. So when you buy it, you own it. And you can't turn it back. Whereas a car, if you buy it online and it's something isn't right, you can arbitrate it.
Okay.
So that's why I like to see them in person, because they really don't do a good condition report. You have to see... When you look inside, you see the wear and tear on certain things and the roof, if there's a leak, you know, there's some things you got to look at. Was it an accident? A lot of things you could tell.
Pictures from certain angles, and if there was a water leak, you may not see that in the photo. You gotta see the wear of it.
Yeah, and it's not like you have an inspector there with you. You just got to kind of see it visually.
You can do that, but I like to see them in person because then you really get an eye on it, and you can get a real good feel for it, too. And there's so many there that you might miss something.
Yeah, so okay, so then you've gotten some, and you've flipped them.
Yes.
And Jennifer, I've heard you like to stage them when you resell
them. I do, actually. I really enjoy that. I've done some home staging, you know, just for like people that are selling and flipping houses.
Okay, yeah. Great.
So I just had the idea when he bought an RV, it wasn't one we were going to use. I thought, you know what? You're going to take photos of it and put it on the advertising. Why don't I stage it?
Yeah.
Make it look like a home. Uh-huh. Show them how nice the space can be.
Great.
So
idea.
I, you know, bring my things in there. I get inspired and I stage it up and shine it up.
Absolutely brilliant.
It is. I love it.
People have made comments about how much they love the photos, and the staging was what sold it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's like a house.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've seen pictures that people put up of their RV. They're for sale. And it's like, oh my Lord, what are you doing? There's a bag of trash. or there's a, you know, part of a cantaloupe on the seat. You know, you can't do that.
No. Yeah. You got to clean it up real good and make it look, the first impression is the most important thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, most of all, you guys like to travel. How long have you been traveling?
2018, I believe, is when we first started. We bought our first RV at the auction.
Yeah, I thought I'd give it a try. I buy the small ones. When you first start out RVing, it's kind of intimidating, the whole hobby of RVing, because then you got to get a truck, and then you're going to tow something big behind it. It's kind of the unknown. So you get a small one, like what a lot of people do to start out, just to test it to make sure that that's what they enjoy doing.
Right.
So that's what we did with the small one, and we went to Florida, and we were at a campground, and it was nice to stay there we were there for maybe a month or so, and then our neighbors next to us had a fifth wheel, and that's how I got into that interest, because of the reason that we're in the small one, and it's kind of crammed after a while, so then you get to talk to the neighbors and say, you know, it's not so hard to tow one of these, and I'm saying, man, that thing's huge, and that's intimidating, and I was very uncertain about it, so... Yeah. And you need a diesel truck to tow that.
Right.
So then you move up another step to get the bigger one because it's more comfortable and it's not as bad as you would have thought. In fact, it's easier in some ways. Yeah. So it's a pleasant surprise.
Wow. And the fact is, none of us are 20 anymore.
Right.
And, you know, you want those creature comforts.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Mm. People say it's glamping, but exactly what you said. When you get older, you want to take better care of yourself.
And, you want somewhere comfortable to sit, comfortable to sleep.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We've all tented camping, you know, when we were young.
Roughing it camping, but, you know, when you're going for long term, you want to have your comforts around.
So. Absolutely.
For sure. Space.
And we have one rule. Everybody has to get a good night's sleep.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah. It is. Absolutely. In an RV, I sleep better, honestly, because it's more cozy.
Mm-hmm.
If you're at a campground
peaceful
and it's
and quiet,
quiet. Mm-hmm. And there's fires, it's very pleasant to me. I found it very easy to sleep in that.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, recently, you guys took a trip out west.
Yes, that's actually our second trip out west. We went year before last, and we went kind of the southern route, and we went down for the winter, stayed 3 months, went down through Arkansas, New Mexico, Nevada, Arizona, and went out to the high desert in California, and we stayed out there. And it was beautiful, absolutely
you were
beautiful.
In the fifth wheel or the?
We were in the fifth wheel.
Okay.
Yeah, we did that in the bigger mm-hmm. RV, and it was really nice. We really enjoyed that. But since then, we decided, you know what? We haven't seen out west in the north. So we thought, we'll take another trip.
Mm-hmm.
So we went on Route 95, and or 94. Why did I say 95?
That was 94.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 94. Yeah, we went out and saw Washington, Oregon, Montana, which is beautiful. We got to visit Glacier.
Oh, wow.
We did not have enough time there. We were only that place for like 2 days, and we need more time. So we're already booked a week for next year to go back.
I was going to ask, what would you recommend? How long should you stay at Glacier?
Oh, I would say at least a week.
No,
I wouldn't.
Well, you can stay a week. I think you can get a lot done in like 3 days if you really get on it every morning. But if you want to, you know, relax a little bit, maybe a week would be a nice time frame to stay. That way you're not so rushed.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so much to do.
So much hiking. They have some really nice tours.
Endless things you could do to keep yourself busy.
I know they have that one road. I think it's called To the Sun.
Going to the Sun, yeah.
Road, yes.
That's,
yeah,
that's the name of the road?
Yeah,
yes.
They call it Going to the Sun, and it cuts right through the park from the east. You can either go from the east to the west or from the west to the east. And what we did is do the west to the east direction. And at the very middle of that road, there's a real good visitor center that has the real good hiking trails.
Logan Pass.
It's called Logan's Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you stop to go and do the hiking in that area. There's a lot of great trails, and they have a ranger station there. They'll give you recommendations on where to go.
Well,
and,
I would imagine it had to be pretty crowded when you were there.
Yeah, it is. That's the only negative I would have to say. It's crowded, so you when you go to the park, you got to leave early in the morning, like right around sometimes 6 o'clock, 7 mm-hmm. o'clock at the latest.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you don't have a pass to get in, because can be a little difficult to get in for your vehicle.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need a pass to go. A parking pass is what they call it.
Uh-huh.
But even if you have that and you go to these, like Logan Pass, it was totally packed. So I got lucky and I found somebody that was leaving. As I was leaving that parking lot, I had to turn to the right and somebody was leaving. So I got lucky and I got a spot. But
nice.
I met other people that I had to walk at least a half hour to get to where the trails start.
Wow.
So yeah, you just got to get out early and then...
Yeah. That's a popular spot.
Yeah, because a lot of the hikes are fairly long. They take almost all day, so people start out early to do them. And
mm-hmm. and that was a Saturday, so you know that's going to be really crowded.
Yeah.
We went back the next morning, uh-huh. and it was not as crowded.
Not
we
as
went
crowded.
Up by Lake McDonald, yeah. and they have mm-hmm. the waterfalls, and it was real beautiful, mm-hmm. and you didn't really have to fight any crowds.
Yeah.
But, yeah, wow. it was very, very pretty.
Yeah.
Definitely a must-see.
Uh-huh.
We swung through Montana, Idaho, and then through Washington a little bit, and then mostly in Oregon because we had some mechanical issues we had to take care of in Portland. But you guys went up into Washington where we haven't been. What did you see there, and how did you feel about it?
Oh, we loved Washington.
Washington's beautiful.
It is so beautiful. Yeah. Redwood trees, the huge pine trees, absolutely beautiful. Mountains.
Evergreens, giant evergreens.
Yeah. You went to Leavenworth.
Leavenworth.
Is that the name of the town?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I want to go there so bad. It's like a little German town?
Yes.
It is.
You feel like you got dropped off in Europe.
Oh, my
the
gosh.
The food, you can smell the food. It's so amazing. Oh. Authentic German food.
Oh.
Shopping, we wonderful ice cream.
Yeah, when we were in Coeur d'Alene, we met a couple and they said, oh, you got to go to Leavenworth. And we just couldn't get there. And I knew about it and it's like, oh. Yeah.
No, I definitely recommend that place for sure.
We had axle fluid leaking into the brakes.
Oh, no.
Oh,
yeah.
We had to stay put for a while.
Yeah.
On your next trip, right?
Yes, yes,
but
for
that
sure.
Whole Columbia Gorge.
Oh, it's
and,
beautiful.
Yeah, that's a nice drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Time that we were riding through, there was a lot of headwinds. So
yeah,
the gas mileage was going down, but it was a little bit of a struggle going through there because the RV mm-hmm. got pushed around a little bit.
You could see the white caps on the water. It was a lot of wind that day for sure.
But it was a nice beautiful drive.
Yeah,
very well worth it.
Yeah.
So scenic. Yeah.
Yes.
And we then, ended up going to Warm Beach, which was up in like the tip, almost to the tip of Washington, to visit a friend. And we got to stay at a beautiful campground. And we were actually the only two people there because our friend let us stay there for the night. And it was so amazing.
Places like that.
Yes. Oh, yes. It was the most peaceful night you could even imagine. It was so beautiful with all the trees. And we enjoyed it very much.
Must have slept really well that night.
Oh, that was probably the best night's sleep I had the whole time.
Oh, man.
It was amazing.
It was a nice night.
Now, when you guys camp, do you do a lot of your own meals? Do you cook out over the fire, or do you go to restaurants?
We mix it up. We do a little bit of everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He likes to grill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we grill from time to time. But I tell you, going on these trips, you want to check out what the locals like as far as cuisine.
Right.
And that's a lot of fun of traveling like this is you listen to the locals and go with the places they recommend to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And nine times out of ten, they're home runs as far as a great decision.
I agree 100%.
So that's the excitement of traveling this way, is seeing new things and trying different places to eat. It's not the same old all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Because every region has a personality of food or something.
Right.
Exactly. Or a different atmosphere. Like in Leavenworth, it was like a German theme.
The pork chops and sauerkraut. Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. And then we ended up finding, on the way home, we stopped at a pizza place just in Minnesota, and it was some of the best pizza we've ever had. They put the fresh mozzarella and the balsamic dressing on it. It was amazing.
Not to mention in Washington and Oregon, you can't beat the salmon and the fish. You got to go, go where the best food is known to
and
be.
And you had some clams, too, I think, when we were there.
You go to Maine, you got to eat the lobster.
Yep. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's where we're going soon.
Yeah.
So you ended up down in Oregon.
At the place you recommended.
Yes.
And that was really nice of you to do that. I listened to one of your podcasts, and we stayed at...
That was a helpful tip, for sure.
Right. Was that Neatarts Bay.
Bay Garden.
Very nice place.
Right on the bay, peaceful and quiet. Temperatures are amazing. When it was 97 to 100 in Montana, we got there and just really enjoyed the weather.
Nice to be by the water. The temperature drops. It's like a natural air conditioning.
It was beautiful.
It does. Mm-hmm.
It was nice to see the tide rolling in and rolling out in the morning and the evening.
Oh, and the coastal drive all the way up to Astoria when we left. It was breathtaking.
Don't you love it?
Oh, we had to just get out and take photos. It was so amazing.
Yeah, you do. You stop every 5 minutes and have to, oh my God, here's a scenic look.
It's like, there's another one. You got to pull over.
It
is. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And you were in Tillamook, right? Tillamook, Oregon.
Yes. Yep. So we had a little fun on the way to Tillamook too, because you might want to fill your gas tank up before you go through the forest. I don't know if you did the Sea to Trees drive.
Yeah.
No. It's like 50 miles.
Yeah, there was a long distance between
no cell.
There was nothing, and then you end up
no gas station
right out in Tillamook. Yeah. So we
barely made it out without running out of gas.
Yeah, that's happened a few times. You don't realize how long it's going to be before you need to hit a gas station.
Oh, yeah.
It was
a beautiful drive, but a little bit of a nail biter because we were afraid we weren't going to make it to the gas station.
I'd like to call it a little drama.
Yeah. When you're RVing, you have to be prepared for drama.
We caught the good ice cream and cheese at the Tillamook factory.
Yes. Yeah.
And then not far from that was the Blue Heron.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The Blue Heron, French cheese. I forget exactly what
that's
called.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of a winery, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they have a candy store there.
They have a Harvest Host there, and we stayed there.
Yeah, you can stay two nights. That's nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Harvest Host is where they allow you to stay like a boondocking type setup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're all on your own and you don't need any
I'm sure you saw them all out there when we did. Pulled in.
And they had all the little animals out there too. Yeah. That was really nice
Petting
to see
farm
all the animals.
Zoo or whatever
it is. It's a nice place to visit. Mm-hmm. Very nice area.
Very nice.
Yeah. Well, we ate our weight in ice cream for sure. Yogurt and sour cream and we have everything Tillamook right now.
Yes. But you did have a little accident, didn't you?
Oh, we did.
Yeah, we were coming back from Florida, and
a couple months ago.
I'm so careful. This is the fifth wheel.
Which trip was this? So
this was
this last winter.
Okay.
Yeah, over the winter coming back. We spent like 3 months in Florida on the way back. All the way back, no problems. Everything was great.
Half an hour.
We stayed
from
several
home.
Places in Florida. So this was our final trip home from the last place, and everything was going great. And I got off maybe a half hour before my home in Cuyahoga Falls, and I'm at the Sheets gas station trying to get gas. And I got to hit an end pump because I have a diesel,
right?
Mm-hmm. And gas stations are kind of tight. You got to be careful. Sheets is a big one. So that's why I chose it. And I was going all the way around to my pump, but somebody cut me off. So I had to go circle around him to the other side of the station to catch the other diesel pump. And as I did, no problem. I was facing the one direction. I filled it. And then as I was leaving, I said, well, instead of me going another circle around, I think I'll just kind of turn to the right.
It looked like there was plenty of room to the
slow.
Right.
And I'll go real slow. I think I can make it. So I started to do that, and I heard a big crash in the back, but I was going slow, thank God.
Did you feel it, too, or just hear it?
No, we felt it.
I felt
and
it.
And heard it.
But I heard it, and I was going very slow, but it's never, when that happened, I just prayed for it not to be as bad as it was. And then, knowing how RVs are built, it was a lot worse than
I thought.
We
jumped out, ran back there, and saw that we had kind of, where the back wall is attached, and it pulled one side.
Wall apart from the rear
electric
bumper
wires
be.
Were hanging, and I think we,
that was a heartbreaking incident.
Looked pretty sad at that moment.
Yeah, that was,
oh my God.
That was a heartbreak, yeah.
Yeah, that
then
was.
You're almost home, and then you got to go back and limp back home. And
So was it drivable? Were you able to drive it back
home
then?
Yeah,
thank barely
God.
Drivable. Yeah. I mean, you could drive it, but we were afraid that the back wall was going to come loose, completely detached. So I was following him, and I was a little nervous because I didn't want anybody to get behind him and have it fall off. And I also didn't want it to fall off on myself.
So you had an extra car. So you took an extra car with you.
Well, when I was following him to the shop. Mm-hmm.
Going home, you didn't have a car.
I was riding with you.
It was fine. She followed me to go to a dealer to drop it off, and she was following me close.
Yeah.
Because I told her to, because I didn't know, because I made it home, but I didn't know how it would last. It was kind of hanging. But actually, they're very sturdy. It looked worse than it was because I took it to a dealer, and the bill wasn't as bad as I thought. They put a new wall on it.
I thought it was going to cost a lot more.
Yeah, the most expensive thing, was to get the wall, and he had to put the whole new one on. And I took it to a repair facility not far from where they manufacture them.
Oh, that's cool.
I drove it all the way out to Indiana with the wall hanging like that. So
that's nice.
Yeah, so it wasn't as bad as after I was seeing it a while.
We kind of tried to crash wrap it ourselves because we took it somewhere and they were supposed to wrap it because the weather was really bad.
They call it a crash wrap because you want to make sure no water gets in the roof area.
Yeah. You know that plastic sheeting that has sticky like
sticky
on the back side and you could protect carpet. He and I are out there working with this sticky stuff, wrapping it ourselves to protect it.
Job,
you want to keep water out. So but it worked. We didn't have any water damage, thankfully.
What time of year was that? Like what month?
That was in March.
Wow.
And it was right before that bad weather that we had got real cold and a lot of snow. We had to try to keep that protected.
Well, I don't carry any tools. I just take duct tape.
If you need
that would take a lot of duct tape.
Yeah. Well, at least it was clear tape, so it didn't look as bad as it could have.
But gas stations are a pain in the butt. People are nuts. They will cut you off. And then they'll pull in. You're pulled in behind them waiting for the pump. Everybody in the world knows you're waiting and you've got a big rig behind you. And they have to go in and buy a candy bar. And if it's out west, they go in and play the casino.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, the car is still at the pump.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That has happened to me for sure. A guy went in and 10, 15 minutes later, I'm still sitting there waiting. And he saw me there. Care at all.
Crazy. Inconsiderate, some people are.
That's my word, inconsiderate.
It was very inconsiderate.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we've had so many issues with the gas pump when we had the Baystar. It's a little bit easier now with the diesel because you can go through the
truck ones.
That is nice.
It's a lot more space and you
a little more organized.
They're more organized.
The DEF pump is nice too, where you don't have to buy a container and put it in. We do like that.
Is there anything else you've had to fix up while you were on the road? Anything come apart or
when we were in, weren't we in Georgia?
Oh, yeah,
We just got to an RV park.
Yeah, this could be a little bit interesting. This is my brand new fifth wheel I have. It's the Solitude. There's a really nice RV park right outside between the Georgia and Florida border. So we were going to stay there for a couple of days, and I get there and hook up. I hooked up my, I have a electric, I hook a 50 amp, and I have a 50 amp surge protector. And it's all hooked on. And so I'm in my bathroom and my GFI is not working. It's tripping and I've done everything I can. I've reset it. I've taken it off the wall, played with the wires a little bit, made sure they were tight, put it back in the wall, and it kept popping.
Wow.
And I think, man, this is a big problem. So I went to Lowe's, bought a brand new GFI, came back, installed it myself, and it's still the same problem.
No kidding.
Yeah. So what happens is... There was a mobile RV guy at the park.
I asked him. Servicing someone else's
servicing
RV.
Somebody
else's, and we flagged him down.
Yeah, they come around because then, you know, it's inconvenient to take your RV and take it all the way somewhere. So right. They have these mobile guys that come around. So I asked him to look at it. He goes out, looks at it, takes it apart. And he said, well, the first thing I noticed is your circuit breaker was not flashing its three lights like it should. Mm-hmm. That protects your, so you don't get a power surge. He said the one light should have been solid. So I think it's the RV park's fault. And sure enough, it was the RV park's fault. And they
replaced
the post
we were plugged into. So right. They had
so
to have their service people come
out. It was not my RV, it was the park.
It wasn't even ours.
So $350
we learned
later $350 after paying him the service
less.
Fee to tell me it was the RV park,
no.
Basically.
Yeah.
That was my bad experience. So yeah. I did try to fix it myself, but it was not my RV.
No.
You know
yeah.
what? That is really common.
Oh, my gosh.
That has happened in the park that we're in.
Yeah.
The two next door to us said that they had to have their plugs rewired, the ground came off or something. We've been in the places where, you know, you plug in and sure enough, you don't get those three lights. There's a ground interruption or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a state park in Oregon and I could feel the current if I touched the RV and touched the water faucet.
Oh,
and,
no.
And I could just feel it on the back of my hand a little bit.
Wow.
So I put a meter on it, 117 volts.
Oh, my
and,
gosh.
And, you know, you got to be careful.
Yes.
Yeah, they say that the park posts get used, you know, they get beat up and used so many times that they get worn.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
So never assume it's always your RV. Sometimes it isn't.
Yeah. Good story. Always keep in mind it could not only your RV, it could be the park's fault. So.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Well, do you guys have anything planned for the future?
Oh, we do. We're going to go to Florida again this year.
Yep.
We've already rebooked a week for Glacier next year in July. Yep. We're going to do that.
That's smart.
Yeah.
When we RV, we find the places that we like, and we tend to revisit them. So now that we've been out west in the south and out west in the north and then in Florida a couple times, we kind of know where we want to go. So we're going to do Glacier, the northern route, again next year. And then we have a couple places.
A little more into Central Oregon. We're going to do Crater Lake and Lapine area. So
places we didn't
really
go
pretty.
To also.
Yes.
But
a little more in Idaho. We just got to the northern part.
Really
we want to go to Boise.
Yeah. You think a month sounds like a lot, but it's really not a lot.
It goes so
RVing.
Fast.
You need more time to really see. Mm-hmm. You could just touch on certain things, but go back to the places you liked.
Yeah, I agree.
But
that's why RVing is so great. You can, you know, just narrow it down to what you want to really spend some time at. So,
Well, I'll tell you, Matt and Jennifer, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
It was.
So nice talking to you as well and meeting you.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed all your podcasts because they really hit home with being in a fellow RVer. They really things that happen are very common, and it just makes you feel like you're not the only one.
For sure.
The great stories are something to be passed on. They're really nice.
Well, thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Sure,
we appreciate it. Hey, safe travels.
Yes,
thank you.
You too.
Absolutely.
Enjoy your next trip.
Yeah,
thank you.
You have a nice trip,
Matt and Jennifer. I'll tell you, they really had some great tips.
Oh, they sure did. And I like that Jennifer stages them. She'll go in and decorate it. She's a decorator. Mm-hmm. Makes a huge difference.
Yeah, you go to sell an RV, if you don't stage it, I mean, you've seen pictures of some of the insides of RVs.
Yeah.
And they're like dumps.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, do a little bit of work on it, you know, fix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Stage it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they buy their RVs at auctions to save a lot of money. Let me remind you, Matt is very skilled at that. Now, there are plenty of auctions that deal with RVs.
Yes, an online search will help you to find where they are.
Mm-hmm. You're going to find everything like slightly used ones, repossessed models, and even RVs that dealers have not been able to sell. And there are also RV rental companies that use auctions to help sell their used RVs. But remember, these are rentals.
Oh, boy.
Be very careful.
Yeah.
Plus, plenty of owners that are motivated to sell something that they don't use or found out that, hey, this RV life is not what they thought it was going to be.
Right. Just make sure you research the auctions carefully and know what you are looking for.
Yeah. You've got to know the market.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to know the prices. And those prices vary depending upon condition, mileage, accessories, and other factors. And I really think you got to be hands-on. I know you can buy online, right?
Right. But it's better to actually go to the auction and see it and feel it and touch it and look at it. The only thing is you can't drive it.
Mm-mm.
But remember, too, every auction has its own rules and guidelines, along with processes for bidding and finalizing the sale. You do have to register first.
Now, many, as I said, have online bidding capabilities that might differ from the in-person bidding processes. Before you jump in, you should always consider exploring all the rules, terms, and steps for that specific auction that you plan to attend. Have a budget. Don't get caught up in a bidding war.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever you do, don't drink and bid.
Yeah.
Hey, we'd like to hear from you if you've ever bought from an auction. I think that'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Well, our time is up. Thank you very much for listening. And until next week, stay safe.
You know, I really like Matt and Jennifer's idea of having two RVs.
Well, then you better start buying some lottery tickets.
It's the Rockin' the RV Life podcast with Jeff and Patty. Hear more of their adventures on the road with our next episode. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and tell your friends.